Chairman.
All right, we're here with the engineer. We'll go through, Darren, we'll go through this how we normally go through it. I'll state as we're on the recording that I've got to leave for another meeting in 30 minutes, so my intent is for us to have as much conversation as we can for that time, and then once I have to go, for you to continue to visit with the other two board members, but that we do a callback for you on Friday, next Friday, and get this thing finalized. So with that, I would turn it to you, and I would, so this is a sheet that I was just commenting earlier that I don't remember seeing before. It's one you produce pretty regularly and I think share with the public, but take us through that to start.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to start with a real quick budgeting 101 for our department. Looking at that sheet, that is just kind of the revenues and expenditures. The revenues are in the green arrows at the top, and the expenditures are the blue. Just note these numbers aren't completely up to date because this is something I prepared before the budget. This is the current budget we're in numbers, not the proposed. Just a couple things I'd point out. The beginning balance there, that $4.92 million, that is high. We need to bring that down. That's caused by a number of reasons. One, fuel tax has increased. We didn't know that increase was coming, so we didn't have things budgeted for the first year and a half already, so we started out with some balances getting built up with that. Fuel prices dropped considerably the past couple years. Our fuel usage has even dropped because we haven't had those bad winters where we got the motor graders out there running all piling snow as much. So usage is down. We've had some projects and some shops that have carried over at budget years. So it's caused our balance to increase, but we need to get that down. So that's something I'll talk about at the very end on what my recommendations are for bringing that down. So this is just a local budget only. When you get down to that construction item, the big blue arrow at the bottom, you see there's annual allocations on the side. That's those other types of fundings that get kicked in for construction. Farm to market funding, federal funds for bridges, and then SDPs, the federal funding for roads.
And that's the reason, Board, that it is so much easier for us to do something with one of our farm to market roads as opposed to one that's just in our general system.
Let me kick over to the other thing I gave you is our annual report. There's really four things with our department. There's our local budget, and then there's a DOT budget. Those are essentially the same thing, but just in a different format. We have to submit to the DOT, but they have to match. So we do the local budget first. That's what we're doing now. The DOT budget gets approved at the same time as our five-year program by April 15th. The third thing is the five-year program. We'll have a meeting on that in the next month or two here and discuss the five-year program for construction. And the last thing is what I give you a copy of, and that's the annual report to the DOT. That gets approved by September 15th of every year. And what that does is gives the DOT an idea of where we spent our money. And there's a lot of codes and stuff in there. Every bit of work we do for secondary roads, we have to code exactly what it's for. One reason is so the DOT tracks it. The other reason is that once you transfer money to the secondary road fund, it is protected. You can't spend that money on anything else except for secondary roads. So the DOT is verifying you spent all your money on secondary roads with this report. But one thing I want to point out, it'd be on the back, flip to the back sheet, and then it's the second to the last sheet, local effort provision worksheet, sheet 13 at the top. For budgeting purposes, this is the most important sheet in this report. Under E, total receipts, that is essentially the local effort that the county is providing for local money to the Secretary of Road Department, $2.69 million. Go down to that line C under section 2, that's the total revenue potential. That's what the county could be generating through mostly levies. And then you need to be getting 75% of that potential. If you don't get 75% of that potential with the local effort dollars, the DOT will take dollar for dollar away from you out of the road use tax money that you get. So kind of one of our restrictions. We try to meet that 75% so we don't lose additional dollars. So keep that in mind. And at the very bottom, you see last fiscal year, we were at 82.99%. So we're over the 75, so we didn't lose any funding there.
Why don't we capture 100%?
You could, other than the Farm Bureau lawsuit, which you'll have to go to at least for the explanation on that, because that gets a little
complicated. Yeah, no, it doesn't have a lot of effect anymore, only because our rural valuation is such that we have we've grown enough that we're not limited as much as we used to be on that.
Sure.
If we captured the 100%, that would be $3.03 of the rural levy over there. Mm-hmm. And we're only doing $2, and how much is that on that?
On this?
Uh-huh. Because, in fact, we fund other things in the rural service.
Sure.
Here.
Unless
we raise the levy up substantially, then we're not putting 100% over there because there's other things we pay for.
I got it. Okay. Thank you.
The only other thing I wanted to point out on this annual report is this second sheet, the financial sheet for secondary roads. For budgeting purposes, there's four categories. Administration engineering is one category, construction, roadway maintenance, and then general roadway. When I submit that budget to the DOT, they keep the total of those four categories. I can go over each of those categories by 10%. But I have to make up for it in one of the other three. If I go over 10%, I have to do a budget amendment. So I have to amend the DOT budget and the local.
And our budgeting is just a little bit different because we can't go over in the full service area of secondary roads.
Okay, so it's the second one, sheet two, the top.
So
just flip it.
I watched that to make sure it doesn't go over in that. Right. And they make sure that they don't go over the DOT budget.
Yeah, so these are compartments within a silo, right? We talk about silos. These are additional compartments that we don't necessarily have to track, but Darren has to track as we get through.
You have sheet two?
I go to sheet three. No, I go from one, your cover sheet to
the inside?
Yeah, to sheet three. Maybe it's just numbered wrong?
Yeah, no, this is it.
That's not the right page, though. It doesn't have anything about how to split out.
Oh. No.
Okay. We got a brand new copy machine. Maybe I don't know.
My page is
page
This is page three for me.
That's the local effort.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondary road funds.
Okay. You're missing half.
Yeah, you're missing.
Okay. I'll get you an update on that.
I'll let him run the copyright.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fine. I was trying to follow you. It's just fine.
Sorry. Okay, let's move on to the actual budget then. I will start out by saying this is a very unusual budget for me. This is probably the 23rd year I've been doing this, and usually we budget bare bones and then we see what we can even cut from that. We have some additional money we need to spend here, so that's kind of different for me, but what I've done, I've put a budget together like I normally do, and I've left room to add things. I've put my recommendations down, which I'll get to last. But with the new board, I wasn't exactly sure that's the way you wanted to go. So it kind of gives you options on what you want to pick to put in. So let's start out on the revenue side.
So this is the addendum. This is your time speaking from this.
That's what I'd like to add at the end,
All I ask is that when you started, you got this inside baseball chat. Just tell me what page you're on.
Page 90 on the budget.
Yep. We're in the budget book.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for color coding.
Okay. So we're on the revenue. Is that sheet 90? Local revenues are fairly constant each year. I would point out that the roads and transportation services, that one varies a lot depending on reimbursements we get back for our federal aid bridge money that comes back into the county.
You're calling it roads and transportation services. Would that be road use taxes? No?
This is money we receive from the DOT through the federal the federal government gives it to DOT, and then DOT gives it to us to reimburse our federal aid. Certain bridges that aren't on the federal aid system, we use local dollars and then get reimbursed from the federal government. That's what those monies are.
But I'm looking to find it related to my form in front of me on page 90 or 91, which are...
Eighth one down.
Eight.
It says roads and transportation service.
Okay. So I have 37. Oh, I have budget for next year 37,410.
This is 400,000, right?
One, two,
there's two lines. There's one.
Sorry, it's seven.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So talk us through why it's why we budgeted 280 last year, but we're really going to bring in 760, or we're projecting 760, and then we're going back to 400 for FY18.
Okay. Those are all based on the federal aid bridge reimbursements. So it just depends which bridge we have going in that particular year and how much. The large one was the Hickory Grove Bridge. That was a $900,000 bridge. So that's the 760 coming back in.
Okay.
Next year we have the Sandhill Trail Bridge that shows $400,000 in federal money, but we had the budget in local. And then we get reimbursed, so that's for the Sandhill Trail Bridge. What that $400,000 is coming back in.
Okay, so but talk me through this year. We knew we were doing the Hickory Grove Bridge. Why did we only budget 280? So I get why we're bringing in 760 because we did that bridge. But why did we only budget 280?
We re-estimated at 280.
That's mainly due why our budget's so difficult to follow is because the construction year falls in the middle of the fiscal year, falls right in the middle of the construction year, so I never know which year that money's going to come in or out.
Right.
So we budgeted 760, and we actually got the money in the year before. So we didn't get all the 760 in the current year. There's only 280 left to come in from that bridge. So we re-estimated down because we actually received it the year before.
So, but right now our re-estimation says 780. It says we amended the budget to 280, but our re-estimation is still 760. So you're telling me that for this year, we're not bringing in 760. We're really only bringing in 280.
We've already got 539 in here.
Exactly.
Okay, so the 760s are here.
So originally you thought that money would come in fiscal year 16. Now you've gotten it and now it's in 17.
Yes.
Right.
But then if you go back to 16, we only budgeted to bring in 851, and we really brought in 1,043,000. I mean, at some point that's got to break, or... if it doesn't, then $400,000 is too low to budget for next year if we're on this cycle where we continue to bring in more than we're budgeting. I've just been trying to understand it as we go through it. What I'm hearing is we've only got one bridge in the program this year for FY18. So we've completed everything that's in the program now and will have received payments by the end of this year.
Yes.
And then we've only got one bridge in the program next year, and we're budgeting that as a $400,000 bridge. So the only way that'll change is if the actual cost of the bridge is different at the end of the day.
Correct.
Okay.
And I will point out, more than likely, we won't get that $400,000 in that fiscal year. That project won't get let until next, probably February.
Okay.
There's a chance it could get built early in the year and get reimbursed. That's why it has to be here. But more than likely, it's going to fall after July 1st, so it'll come in actually in 19.
Okay, but talking through that, because that's a real frustration of mine, and it's not just with your budget, Aaron. So I mean, and yours is a little more complex, and I get it. But a real frustration of mine is we seem to be budgeting the same dollars, both revenues and expenses, year after year after year, because, and I'm going to use your budget as an example, we budget to build a road or a bridge this year, and we don't get it built this year, so we budget it again next year, and if you just look at our budgets, not actual expenditures, it looks like we're spending the money multiple times, and that's not reasonable to me.
I've been trying to figure out how to simplify that. What I end up doing is, in my re-estimate, I try to take that money out and then put it in next year's budget, just so my ending balances are correct.
Is there something from the DOT that says that we can't handle that right after first year? So we operate on our budget this year as it's set, and then we get to July 1st and we amend anything that's not done, anything we haven't received or anything we haven't completed, we amend that new budget, then we're only counting the dollars one time. Because when you re-estimate, we're not amending our budget. Our budget stays just like our budget was.
Yeah.
So we've got a budget that shows that we're trying to spend $8.3 million, but we're only spending $6.4 million. And then we carry all of those projects over to next year. And you talk about the public trying to follow something,
right?
It's not even close. And so I don't, the problem with you, with our other departments, it's much easier because the Board of Supervisors can just decide, no, we're budgeting for it once, and even if you spend it next year, we're only budgeting it in this year, and then we'll do some kind of budget amendment to carry it over, and then it makes perfect sense. I don't know if the rules of DOT will allow you to do that.
The problem is, in order to spend the money, it has to be in that fiscal year, and we just never know which side of July 1st the construction is actually going
to
take place.
Right, but how much flexibility do we have to amend your budget during a fiscal year?
You got up till about June 1st to amend the budget.
June 1st of that fiscal year?
Yeah.
Not for the next fiscal year, for that fiscal year.
And how many are there restrictions on how many can you amend it? But with the DMV?
No, I don't believe so. But it has to be in there in the program. Your program has to match the budget. It has to be programmed in order to let it.
Okay, but that's so let's use grant.
The programming happens in April when you approve the 5-year road plan.
Yes.
Yeah, and
I'm not including the budget that you just certified for the plan. Mm-hmm. Or the budget
right.
That you just certified.
And I'm not talking about doing something that's not in our program. I'm talking about the timing of when things get done. So let's talk about a real world example that's in this year's budget, grant.
Yes.
Right? So we've got grant. We budgeted $1.75 million. To do grant in FY17.
Correct.
It is almost certainly not going to get completed. There's a chance it could get completed in FY17, but I don't think so, right? We just sent out what we do, the bid letting on February 14th.
But more than likely, a portion of it will get paid for
in 17. And what I'm saying is we've already budgeted. Now, we expect it's going to be $150,000 more than we have budgeted, thereabouts. But we budgeted 1.7 in FY17, and some of those dollars, maybe a majority, maybe not a majority, are going to get spent in FY18. And the way our current practice is, you've taken it out now in your re-estimation of FY17, even though it's still in the budget, you've taken it out of your re-estimation, and you've turned it, you've added the entire project back into the FY18 budget. We're spending those dollars, or it appears that we're spending those dollars twice. And what I'm suggesting is we leave that 1.75 in FY17. You continue to work as rapidly as you can, understanding that it's probably not going to get done in FY17. And then we get into July, we get into FY18, and we amend FY18 budget to carry forward any of those dollars that were budgeted in FY17 that we're working on a project. It's a project that we've approved that's in our program, but we're just carrying those dollars forward rather than budgeting for them a couple of times.
And just to make clear, because I'm kind of working this out, is that what we would amend fiscal year 18 on a carry forward would anything that he hasn't spent in fiscal year 17. So 17 would run all right. Let's say that you spent $500,000 of it, right? Then we would amend fiscal year 18 right away to carry over the 1.25 left.
Correct, but it would not be reflected in our initial FY18 budget because it's already in our FY17 budget.
You don't have to ask for it twice.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Correct, because we get in. So we're in this flaky effect right now. And again, Darren, it's not just you, and I know you've got some different rules. We're in this flaky effect where we budget for things in multiple fiscal years because as Loris rightly pointed out Tuesday, things move slow. I mean, they just move slowly. Governments intended to move slowly. And I think that's fine. I think it's fine that projects take us a while. I've been frustrated for the last couple of years in watching this slinky effect of budgeting things that don't get done multiple times. Once you budget it, we've approved it, right? We say we're paving Grant Avenue. We plug the money in. Now we need an additional $150,000, but we plug the money in and we're doing it. That doesn't change just because we hit July 1st. And doing it twice gets really, really confusing as we try to compare apples to apples in what our budget is.
The other part of what I'm trying to think of in my mind, you also have to amend the five-year program. The program has to pass the budget.
Okay.
And you're supposed to amend your budget before you spend the money. I'm thinking right after July 1st, money starts getting spent for amendment. Amend right away. And there might be a window in there where you kind of get locked out of a program amendment for a few months.
Yeah, so let's do some research and see what the realities of the rules are for you. You got until next Friday to try to figure some of this stuff out. What I'm suggesting to Lisa, so every year we come into 18, or we come into a new fiscal year, and we make an amendment pretty damn quick to account for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so figure out what our window of opportunity there is, what's allowable for you, and let's try to manage this thing more in a way that we account for dollars one time instead of trying to account for dollars repeated times over fiscal years. Does that make sense?
It does.
I think it'll be much clearer if you do it. So your budget, now this one, your budget is different than other budgets that we do in trying to compare apples to apples. You look at your budget and you've got this real, okay, we're budgeting 8.3, but you're really only spending 6.4, but it doesn't all line up. So then we make the case to the public, well, we need to be spending more in roads. And the public rightly says, wait a minute, you budgeted $2 million more than you're spending. This would take care of that, right? This would show each year, here's what we're actually planning on spending. It's not going to show exactly when the project gets done, but our budgets every year, we're going to be able to point to it and say, here's what we're really doing, counting things one time.
I'll review that too. It's frustrating.
You get asked so many times over at DOT before they start to say what's wrong with you, Derek. Be sure to qualify this with my supervisor said that.
I'm here under the hat.
All the counties struggle with this. The beauty is the foreign market and federal aid funds, you don't have to do that with. They don't have to be in the local budget.
Right.
So you don't have to amend anything for those. So it doesn't matter what year they fall in. It's the local dollars that's very hard to deal with.
Lisa, am I way off in your perspective, or does this make sense to have a
conversation? Let's just start using that field for DOT on their rules.
Okay. Let's figure out what we can do, and if I need to go visit with you with somebody at the DOT to explain why I think this is a big deal, we're just trying to produce a budget that can fairly and reasonably be read by the public, compared year over year to what's going on, and we move ahead. And we can't get even close to that with this secondary road budget.
And we aren't usually talking about this much in multiple construction dollars, so it's just amplified now even further.
Exactly.
And is there another county that maybe has figured out partway or other questions? I don't know.
And I have a question when you have to certify that with the DOT again, if you have a project that covers, do you have to prove the whole amount in your next budget or just what's left to pay?
The remaining portion.
Because the project is the whole amount.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to do the whole.
Just what's remaining.
It has to be at a point where you know what that amount is going to be.
I think there's got to be a mechanism. So if we ever start budgeting to do something that we know we're not going to get done, then that's unreasonable. But we budget Grant Avenue, I'm going to use it again. We budgeted all of it in FY17, thinking that maybe we couldn't get it done, but thinking that it was reasonable that we could get it all done. Now we realize probably we're not going to get it all done. Some of it's going to spill over. There's got to be a mechanism that doesn't blow up the budget to account for that.
Lori, I am assuming you're the one who crunches a lot of these numbers and handles the invoices and everything. Do you see a problem with what we're talking about?
No. Just have to find out.
Our issue here
really
is DOT.
Affect the...
Well, there's got to be situations where they thought they were going to get it done, county thought they were going to get it done, and they didn't put it in their next year budget. How do they fix that?
I guess every county just decides how they want to do it. Do you want to do it the way we're doing it, or do you just want to do a bunch of amendments every year?
And I don't want to do a bunch of amendments. I want to do one amendment with a bunch of different items in it, right? So we come forward as quick as we can in the new fiscal year and say, here's the items that were fully budgeted last year that we didn't complete, that we got these portions to complete. It's one budget amendment where you sit here on a Tuesday morning and we get it amended in, but now we're just truly carrying dollars over from one fiscal year to the next.
Yeah.
Okay?
Would it be easier, once again, and I say this because I live out in the farm, they watch this stuff, they know this stuff, and they track this stuff, and the thing is, they realize that these are things are not cheap, but they wonder why, and then when you have to give them the backstory, it's just like, on a costing basis, some things happen the way they happen because of rules not of the county's making.
Sure. Well, and the way government...
That's a difficult part of the story.
Okay.
The way government seems to be viewed by a lot of people today is there's no such thing as honest issues with dealing with these things. We're plugging in $8.3 million and only spending $6.4 million, therefore we're doing something shady, right?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can figure it out in an appropriate way where we're not doing this anymore, okay? I got one more thing I want to throw out on the table, and again, we're not trying to get to decisions, but I believe with the ending fund, with our carryover that we're projecting, it is completely reasonable that we would go ahead and try to get some things pushed up into the FY17 budget and taken out of the FY18 budget. I'm suggesting the tandem dump truck at $220,000. We consider pushing that up. That helps us. So I'm concerned that your ending fund balance right now is going to be what, 70?
Reestimated right now at 74%.
I don't think that's totally accurate because I think we need to. I think the reestimation for construction got put way back.
Well, that's $1.7 million right there.
You reestimated that construction to $600,000 and you're already at $5 something. So I'm pretty sure in 2016 or grants going to start, and we need to keep some of those dollars.
More than likely, the majority of that money is going to come out of next fiscal year. Even if they start in April,
right.
It takes a month to get the pay system even going, so I don't see much coming out.
And I'm not disputing whether, so what we can't do is, it's not reasonable to reestimate our construction budget from $2 million down to $600,000 if we're saying what we're going to do is we're still working on that $2 million, and whatever portion we don't get done, we're just going to carry forward. Then we leave it at $2 million. And we pull forward. So we've got some work to do on this, and I'm glad to dig in as much as possible over the next week. I wanted to bring it up in conceptual form in front of everybody so that we have time to digest it. And then the other one that I'm encouraging is anything that can reasonably, we've got such a healthy ending fund balance, and we're going to have, regardless of what we do, anything that can reasonably be pulled forward to this spring to help take care of that FY17 budget, freeze up. I'm not even now talking about how much we're going to spend in FY18. What I am talking about is it frees up dollars for us in 18 if we go ahead and spend it in 17. If it's things we're truly going to do, to me, if we're going to do it, let's do it in May instead of October if we've got the money.
Yes.
I'll have to look at that close. The truck is, that can't happen. It's okay. A 6 to 9 month build period on the trucks.
Yep.
You can't pay for it until you get it, so that probably can't happen.
Can Sandhill Trail Bridge Design go in FY17?
No.
Okay.
We can try.
Yeah, no. I want you guys to look at anything that you've got currently reflected in the 18 budget that is reasonable to pull forward to 17 so that we can have the full conversation of what we can do to manage that ending fund balance. And I think you rightly pointed out, you said 4.92 is too much. We're going to be substantially more than that. Right? When you produce this sheet next year, we have more than 4.92.
I'm showing on my recommendation sheet, if you flip to the second sheet of that,
yep,
that kind of shows my balance sheet. Probably a little different from Lisa's because we keep records a little bit different way. I'm showing $3.8 million carryover with the budget I submitted without my additions.
Right, so here's my issue.
Right, I'm at 3.5.
You're pretty close to that.
3.5, so we're real close, yeah.
Okay.
But that's a 31% in expenditure. If I take out the $661,000 that's reserved for the buyback.
Okay, yep. So that's where I was getting about $1.4 million I wanted to add at the end, but almost $300,000 that's reimbursable federal money, so that's not money actually spent by a little dollars. So just over $1 million I'd like to add to it, and that get us down to closer to $2 million. 2.6, but we've got $650,000 in our carryover that's reserved for the motivator buyback, which will be in 2 years. That's kind of set aside out of our carryover. That's about what I'd like to be, correct.
Which is about 17% of your expenditures.
Yeah.
If we have $1 million in expenditures next year.
Yep. And I'm not suggesting adding $1 million to the expenditures next year, because what he came in with has Grant Avenue counted twice in my mind, right? So even if he adds this $1.4 million with $300 in reimbursable, so $1.1 million, but we've taken that 1.75 that right now we're counting twice. We're counting in both FY17 and FY18. We're not really seeing that same increase.
I took it out of my re-estimate.
Yeah, he took it out of his re-estimation. So it's not in his ending fund balance not in his expenses for FY17 at this point in time, based on re-estimations and the numbers I'm giving you.
Okay, and then I got lost there. So the $1.1 million you want to pull over into actual paying during fiscal year 18 is not in your 3.8?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. So really, before pulling out the 1.1, your estimated ending fund balance is at 4.9 million. I'm just restating it in different ways.
Yeah, I think you're flipping two fiscal years, right? One, we're talking about the 3.8 at the end of FY17, and the 1.1 that he wants is in FY18.
Thank you.
But you make a great point, because that 3.8 does not include the 1.7 for Grant, right? So if you spend all of that this year, that would really go down to 2.1. Am I seeing that right?
But then you wouldn't spend it next year.
Right, which takes care of next year. Right, but we're looking for, I think what you're looking for is the same thing we're looking for. We're looking for some kind of consistency as much as possible in that ending fund balance, in what we budget to for that ending fund balance, somewhere in that $2 to $2.5 million range. And the grant, if we're able to do that, almost does that. Then we're looking at 2 point whatever this year and 2 point maybe a little better than that, but 2.1 next year. Okay, I gotta go. Thank you.
So, just to, I think, wrap this particular point up. So, the $1.1 million we would be moving from fiscal year 17 ending balance here and moving it into fiscal year 18 is not grant money, though, the Grant Avenue money.
No, I'm not looking at moving money from one to another. I'm just looking at adding $1.4 million to what I'm asking for expenses in 18. Not changing anything in 17.
I'm sorry, and I'm not using proper phraseology here.
No, that's fine.
No.
It's the same thing. You want to increase your expenses in fiscal year 18 by $1.4 million.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
To bring down the carryover closer to $2 million, which is really $2.65 million because I ignore that $650,000 for the motor gear amount.
Right.
So I want our actual carryover to be about $2
million.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you didn't know you walked
for a mental health
secondary road, so
it's similar. Yeah, I would ask the forbearance here on a going forward basis because it is confusing. And I think as somebody that knows it as well as you two, I think sit there and what did they do? What did I just get here? What did I just hear? And what was I just asked? And then you have to break it out. And so I appreciate this opportunity with Flores and I get to talk in the sense that it's just like, okay, we're asking for the lowest common denominator. I will be turning and I will glance from time to time to Lisa. It's just like, okay, budget me through this.
So. Absolutely. It'll take 2 to 3 years going through this to figure out how it all ties together.
Yeah, it was hard to explain.
You're not going to walk out here and understand it because it's a long time to get it.
Okay.
And then you don't really get it. You just kind of get it.
Yeah,
and then when you kind of get it, it's like that light bulb. Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Well,
there's a gym.
Looking for my light bulb.
And that's probably one of the reasons when you look at their budget, their narrative, and things like that, it looks a little different than everybody else's because they budget by administration, engineering, bridges, and culverts. That's how they have to budget, and I try to combine it and make it easy to read and easy to follow. Sometimes it's not.
Go ahead.
Let's go back to just revenues in general. If there's any questions on that.
Where are you reading from? Just show.
Back to 90.
Okay. Just I'm looking for the color of what you got. It's not the color of what I got.
No, because I gave them one. Okay. So what about reestimating down about 3/4 of the way down the page trip permits? What you're looking at, Darren, is 50% of the year, so it's through December 31st. And yeah. I'm showing you already running 22. Reestimated to 17. Where's that going this year? And is it 12,000
people
next year?
We're expecting some drop-offs just because of the pipeline construction caused a lot of additional moving permits this current year.
That would make sense. That would make sense. So are we doing a re-estimation for this year then?
I think we should.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
What would you feel comfortable? Lisa, who wants to take that one?
The one nice thing about when it comes to this, he doesn't have to amend his DOT budget for revenues.
No.
At all? There's no 10% rule on revenues or anything.
No.
It's like every other situation. Nobody pays attention to revenues. So, we re-estimate the current year, too, at this point.
Current year 17. You're showing we're at 22 already. I guess
22,514,315.
25.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and because of the fall off from Dapple, you don't think that's gonna 12 is reasonable next year. You've never been 12. Look at your previous history. You're always more than 12.
True. We could bump that to at least 15.
Yeah, because you've got on 14 and 15, you've got over 13. So 12 goes to 15?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And the other one we can adjust, we're running some numbers on this week, is the fuel tax refund, the $18,000 at the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
That we're looking probably more comfortably, what would be that, 25?
25.
25,000
for 18?
For 18.
For this year too or not?
Yeah.
No, that's this year.
Oh, that's 25 for this year?
25 for this year. Well, yes, that was for current year it was. Okay.
Right. All right.
25 for this year.
And then 18,000 for fiscal year 18?
That we can bump up as well. We can just match it at 25 in both.
You feel good about that?
25 and 25.
Okay. Okay.
And at this point in time, your transfers for the general and the rural are a number I put in there.
to talk for talking points. So that is not set in stone at this point in time. It will be determined when we put all the numbers together and see where we're at.
When you give us the 18 numbers, are you trying to reflect closely, or is there that your goal that you would be somewhere around your reestimate? You know, I'm saying you're looking at where your budget reestimate is, and versus the monies transferred in on the 18 side, and they look pretty close.
How do you come up with
on the transfer?
Yeah. How do you come up with your 18 numbers?
Just plug in.
I figure out what the maximum is.
Right.
And then I take 75% of that.
Okay.
And then I figure out what the rural fund can do and can't do, and where we're at on ending fund balances in the rural fund also.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And then I kind of manipulate that so that we're close. As he pointed out earlier, you know, we have to be at least 75% mm-hmm. in order to keep our road use tax dollars dollar for dollar. But since we can also add in our motor grader that we purchased in another place, another funding source, and most of IRVM's budget gets calculated into your final numbers also, doesn't it?
We could, but I don't think we have been.
Okay.
Really?
That really falls under conservation.
Yeah, Joe actually, when I started here, Joe was a kind of a unique little animal.
Still is.
Okay, let's not go that far. He was in a unique situation in which he was supervised by both Darren and conservation. It was a fairly, it was kind of
half and half,
would you say?
Yeah.
Because he does all the roadside seeding when they need to do new projects, and he does a lot of that. So, and he's housed over there in the secondary roads office.
I'd say counties that have IRVM departments are about 50-50, half are under conservation, half are an engineer.
Okay.
So yes.
When Joe gets a vehicle, it is, tell me where he comes
from. He's paid for out of the rural fund. The code says I have to pay for him out of the rural fund.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, when he does his final report that he showed you guys, his final mm-hmm. thing to the DOT,
Local effort. I could technically count him as local effort, but we haven't in the past.
Yes,
we've met
he can count him as local effort toward the county's contribution.
Get to 75%?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Got it.
What his expenditures count to the okay.
Yes.
Similar to the motor grader that we do count, $260,000 comes out of local option sales tax to pay for our motor grader payment. But it never gets put into our secondary road fund.
Mm-mm.
But we can count it towards the local effort.
Sure.
75% match.
That's good for us.
So to follow up on where Marty started with this trend is that the numbers that you've put in here right now, Lisa, based upon your preliminary workshop or worksheet, okay, you back into these numbers.
Yes.
All right. Period behind this is just like I'm looking at one reestimate versus the brand new one is virtually the same number, and that's where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, a 70% ending fund balance made me go, why are we putting all this? Why would we put more money over there at this point in time?
Got it. Got it.
But those last two line items are the ones you directly have control over revenue wise.
Right. Yes.
Right.
The other ones are pretty well set by other.
And I think that we've gone through these work sessions, and it's been happening the last few years, trying to be more accurate on revenues.
Mm-hmm.
And your one right in the middle, that $760,000, is one of those extreme examples of why we want to be more accurate with revenues, because that does affect our fund balances. It does affect that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that we're not saying, oh, I just don't know if I can bring that in.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to bring it in, let's budget it.
I will say that problem could go completely away. We're talking about doing a federal aid swap with the DOT where they give us all local dollars and they keep all the federal aid money. That would do away with that whole problem. And I think that's going to happen this year. I'll get into that at my next report to the board, update you on that. But.
Interesting.
And Related to that, didn't Mike Cox discuss that? One of his projects, but it was with the DNR, the state DNR, and it's on the Hickory Grove restabilization that he just put in front of us, that instead of the DNR paying us to do the restabilization, they flipped it, and now the DNR would do the restabilization, and we would reimburse for and oversee it, and we would reimburse for our share of it, which is the same philosophy.
Yes. Makes it easier to budget for us.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to start with expenditures? You guys ready to start with expenses?
Sure.
Okay, so the very first line is administration on page 94. On 96 is the narrative. So administration, he's got numerous things listed in there as to what he pays for. They do a great job of telling me, okay, for this year I'm going to pay for this, 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 and this. It equals 27.3, which then you see on my printout that I've prepared. And then the reestimated and the 3-year history. So just aesthetically, so you know what you're looking at, that's how it works.
I had a question under new equipment, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, line 8.
Okay.
And it seemed like when I looked at your year-to-date that you'd spent a lot of it already. And this is, I just wanted to confirm that this is not a situation where you have as much to spend. And, you know, we've been kind of doubling whatever has been year to date to look at what's reasonable for the adjustment. But this is.
They're usually, yeah, big expenditures, and we order them. Actually, leases allow us to order them even before the fiscal year now so we can get them in. We just got that truck a couple months ago. So, yeah, we are done.
Some of their equipment, like you said, with the tandem truck, it's going to take 6 months to get, or 9 months.
Why is such a lead time? Why? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's a spec-built vehicle.
The snow and ice control takes a lot.
Okay.
The truck comes, and then we got to send it to a third party to put all the snow and ice control stuff on it.
Okay.
It's a lengthy process.
So there,
even in our possession, we still don't own it up until...
We take delivery when it's 100% complete.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So we front-end pay for that line was used early in the fiscal year, and there's very little coming. I think you're done, aren't you?
Yes.
Got it. And conversely, I seem to see a couple of expenditures where your full fiscal year 17 and fiscal year 18 are much larger than what you've spent to date, and I'm assuming that has to do with your season also, your construction season.
Yeah, a lot of them are seasonal that way with our budget.
Okay.
I can go line item by line item or take questions, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I hate to jinx us all, but, you know, you got to be in a good shape on your snow and ice control this year. And I know, okay, Chitty said it, it's in the record.
Thanks, Marty.
For the most part, yes, but it's the ice events. We hover around this 32. It really hits our salt budget hard because you got to treat more than you normally would for just a regular snow event.
Okay.
Did I see somewhere in your literature that you guys sell snow or salt and ice to municipalities?
We do. It's fairly small amounts.
Okay.
There's a salt shed. They have a salt shed.
No, I know that. I just didn't realize anybody else that was in a position where I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And a year ago, weren't there some issues with there just being one vendor?
Well, that's kind of why we sell it. It's kind of hard to get salt unless you have a supplier and committed to that next year.
Right.
So they're able to go through us easier. Last year, we had some issues with availability. It all comes through Ames on the rail. And it's a bottleneck because they supply DOT and everybody around this area. And they only get so many train cars in. So when everybody gets – when we get short, everybody's short.
Right.
And so we only have so much storage. Our salt shed, we usually do a mix on one side and all salt on the other, 600 tons on each side. Since we ran so low last year, what we did is we packed that thing full of salt in July. Just get it full.
Sure.
and we're mixing outside this winter because we almost ran out last year, and there's no way to get salt once you run out with a bottleneck in Ames. So that was a little scary, but we're trying to change our process instead of building more storage. But when we build our new Kelly shed, we're probably going to put a little salt shed down there, so that'll help with storage.
Good.
And what is the status on that Kelly shed?
Yeah. It's still negotiations with ISU with the land. It's been going on for a long time, but Rick's been working on that, so you could ask him.
Yeah, he kind of periodically speaks to that.
Yeah.
Where
he's still working on it, I know.
You got the rolling shed on a proposal basis.
Yes.
The rolling shed is in the 18 budget.
Right.
And the Kelly shed is in the 17 budget.
Correct.
We're leaving everything. We're leaving them the way they are because, but Roland may get done before Kelly, but they're still going to stay in budgets.
Correct.
Okay. Didn't mean to drag us down on the snow side. We're just in that season where it seems like, knock on wood, that we've been pretty fortunate. And here we are at the middle of January.
You have to keep talking about it. Just stress on the snow event.
Don't look at it. I'll not hear the end of this until.
I'm going to change the topic, all right,
and talk
about capacity in general, all right? So with your work plan, as it sets right now per the budget, all right, do you feel that you're pretty much at capacity, or would you be able to take on another project or two if the weather cooperated?
You're talking more construction projects?
For construction projects.
Type situation? Well, part of that is one of my proposals here for adding some additional consultant work. That's where we're getting a little bit above capacity, our abilities. In general, when I came to this county 18 years ago, everything was farmed out as far as engineering goes. All the projects were done by consultants. And I've slowly over time got to the point where the past few years we've done 100% in-house. Construction's really picked up, more design work, and we've hit some difficulties with one particular bridge, the Sandhill Trail Bridge. It gets into a bunch of the main issue is it's in a FEMA detailed study area with the floodplain issue.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, it seems like their numbers for drainage are way high. It causes this way oversized structure and spend a lot more money than we normally would.
Because they're saying, just to stop you there, they're saying there's more water passing through there than you would suspect.
Yes.
Okay. Please continue.
And we have to follow their in a detail there. We can't change that. You can change it if you do a map revision, and that's where we need the consultant for. We don't have the software and the abilities to do that. And with all the rest of the work we have going on, we're going to need a little bit of engineering help. So that's my first additional request at the end. That $40,000 is to hire consultants to design that bridge.
The Grant Avenue paving increase on there, is that cost increase or is that city or Gilbert backing out?
That is a little of both. One, when we put these numbers together, we hadn't even started design on the projects. So we don't know what we're getting into. Our final estimate was 1.9.
Okay.
So the estimate was higher, but it's just $150,000 higher, but that's the amount that Rick plans to get back from the city or the school.
And I don't think they backed out. I didn't mean to say it that way. I just don't know that
anybody
still have to budget, made any commitments.
We have to budget the 1.9 and then get reimbursed possibly for the rest. But, for the most part, it was a cost increase.
All right.
Good question,
but
Billy.
As far as we can take on more projects as far as inspection and everything. But the other thing to keep in mind, when you add a project in, realistically, you're looking at actually doing that project at the earliest a year and a half from now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say add a bridge right now, we don't have it surveyed or anything. So we have to get it in the program, start survey and all that stuff. And then we generally let everything early January, February time frame, because that's when the contractors are setting their schedules, and that's what almost all the counties do. You can let a project in the middle of July, but you get worse prices on them, and they don't have time to get it done by the end of the construction season. So timing-wise, just if you add something right now, you're talking probably a year and a half at least before you'll see any construction get started on it.
Remember we talked about how slow government moves?
Yeah. Just because the process.
Yeah. So when the narrative is said that, oh, we can do more, we should do more, we have to do more, we're virtually really up against what we can do. In the sense that we can provide the dollars, but you can only do so much. Is that true? Is that a true reflection of a statement that you can go to the community with? I guess I'm asking her question in a different way. Is if, you know, is there more projects? I mean, you know, always they say, well, how many? Several questions. Let's go with the easy one. How many box bridges, bridge overlays, and all of that do you believe on a numeric basis your department can do in a year's time? I know you propose what you propose, but I mean, if somebody said, well, how, you know, we've got a box bridge out here, you know, or we've got a wooden bridge structure that you got, the pilings are going away, wood's rotting out, needs done. I mean, how many can you do?
Regardless of lead time.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, that's what, yeah.
Yeah, you hear it. How many times were you asked that? How many times were you asked to speak to it and whatnot? And the thing is, it's one of those things that it's, I would turn to you for the fact that I would only quote you without saying right or wrong. This is the number that is given to us by somebody that is most informed.
Well, in fact, we did kind of run into that because dependent on how we asked a question, you were so complicated that the answer you gave back was always very informative and factual, but didn't necessarily didn't help clarify anything. So we were often talked opposite of each other. And
well, the thing is, you know, sometimes people, well, how come you're not making, you know, you've got money to build 8 bridges. We see how much it costs to do this, this, or this. And then you end up doing 6 or 7. And, you know, I guess let's start with the easy one. I mean, what do you feel is a reasonable number that your department can do on any given year, weather regardless, contractors regardless, dollars regardless?
Right. Well, this past year we did, I believe, 12 projects, probably 8 bridges and 4 paving overlays. We were very busy, put it that way. That's probably the most we've ever done since I've been here.
And that weather was not exactly cooperative in a lot of times.
Yeah. We can generally handle the inspection side of things, depending on the type of projects they are. These big paving jobs next year are going to take more inspection time. The bridges, we don't have to be there all the time watching them. Paving, you got to be there. And grading, you got to be there. I would say that 12 project.
And in that mix, bridges will be there.
Yeah. To me, it's more of the upfront, the design side, that's more difficult.
Right.
But we can hire consultants to do that if we... Right. That's why the 5-year program discussion is going to be very important. If I know what we got coming, I can plan for it, and we can get it done.
Right.
But to just add things at the last minute, that's where it becomes difficult to get things going in.
My takeaway from just this snapshot is the fact sometimes it's not the dollars is always the hard part.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when we sit there and we say we're fortunate, we're looking here at, you know, an excess of dollars rolling from a fiscal to a fiscal. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's the run-up to being able to say we started on May 1 is what I get.
I can spend the money. That's not a problem. It's at times. Got plenty of places to spend the money. It's just give me enough time to get the design going.
It gives the opportunity to take to the public as they realize this is, you know, kind of the justification for the 10-cent gas tax increase was the creakiness of our roads and our bridges. Right. And so maybe on that people may be transiting the road, all of a sudden they say, well, I'm scared today, but I wasn't scared any of my previous days. But now they got money and they should do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
They don't understand the planning.
And they don't. That's the thing is, and this is an educational thing in regards to what it takes to make when, you know, you have a concerned citizen or citizens say, I've got a bridge that really needs to be changed. When can we get that? When can I expect this done?
And in bridges in particular, depending on the size of the bridge, you get big enough, you have to get a DNR permit. Those permits can take a year just to get the permit, and you can't even start design until you get the permit. Well, we start design preliminary, send that to them, wait a year, get the permit, and then we can do final design. That process, that can take 2 to 3 years to do a DNR permitted bridge.
So that as we move forward, while we can't respond immediately to these requests, we might want to look at, in addition to what we have on our 5-year plan that we modify every year, look at even further down when you always provide us a list of all the things that need to be done, and then there's a wish list on that, even maybe even try and prioritize those a little bit based upon if there are no safety issues or something else that pops a project up. So we could number them for internally for ours to help respond on those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's about as best as
that,
we can do.
We'll let him bring that to us then, I guess, at that point.
We're trying to work our best right now, trying to get ahead with surveys and stuff. Up until, you know, a year ago, it was never a problem. We didn't have the money to do anything, so we weren't planning that far ahead as far as surveying and designing ahead, because you don't want to design a project too far ahead.
Okay.
But now there's a little more money to go with, so we're trying to get out further in the. But again, that's where the 5-year program discussion is going to help me
mm-hmm.
know what to get surveyed and designed up front so it can be ready to go.
So in the, what is fair to say, this is the quieter time of your job, you know, snow issues aside, this is the planning phase of your department?
Yeah, as far as
anticipation of the construction season?
Yeah, the engineering side, we design stuff in the winter, and then we're out inspecting all summer, so that's why the grant, we didn't have much advance notice on that paving job. That was difficult for us to get done because we didn't have it surveyed. And our summers are taken up with inspections, so we don't have much time for design. So we're able to barely get that design in time to get it let next month, but that was difficult for us.
And just for the sake of the new board, you have how many engineers on staff?
Oh, I have an assistant engineer and then two technicians.
There's two technicians.
One happens to be an engineer, but so we're lucky to have him.
Four of you, four of you that can do the engineering work and design for that.
That's it.
Okay. Well, there's your bottleneck, you know, in that sense. But the fact is we're already funding the staff, and if we can get them to do it internally, that's money savings.
Right.
So sometimes it's just like knowing why things are the way they are.
Oh, yeah.
Gives you both comfort in being able to, you know, give direction or solicit questioning and then provide to the public what they always seem to want to talk about in ways great and small. Thank you.
And you guys are haven't you've probably you've been in a few drainage districts meetings. I don't know, you've probably sat in on some.
Right.
The relationship with Darren's department and drainage, you kind of grasp.
Having come to the table, been party to any number of these discussions where on a costing basis they'll always complain about the engineering cost.
Oh, yeah.
They will stand on your table, your desk, and, we could do this. We could get, you've had farmers in just in my short time, I can buy equipment and do that. Well, you own that at that point, and you don't want that.
We'll get into that discussion a little more, too, because I was just reading code. There's a code change yesterday. I just saw that bumped it's up to $50,000 before you need an engineer's report. You can do more repairs now before you get to the engineering phase.
For real? So, they touch drainage for once?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
So that's nice. So I'll need some feedback from the board at what point. I need to know when you want public hearings and what dollar amounts you're comfortable with, but that takes some experience.
It went from what was it to get the $50,000? You just said it changed. What was it? And then say again.
I think about 5 years ago it was 15, and then last year they bumped it to 25, and I think now it's 50.
Wow. Well, they're going in the right direction then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, to hire an engineer for a $25,000 repair was kind of ridiculous.
That won't be part of this discussion, though. That'll be a separate one? Or
As far as drainage districts, we have one line item on what we budget for, and that is?
For expenses, and then they also budget for revenues because of the work they do in the drainage districts that they bill back to the drainage districts.
On sheet 97.
On page, I was going to say, it's the narrative's on 98. Isn't it? Or
97?
Yeah.
97, drainage and county tile.
Yeah. The first county within the right-of-way, that's ours. The second one is drainage district repairs, and that's where we have the expense, but we end up getting reimbursed back.
Okay.
Just not necessarily right-of-way because of, like I said, with IRVM's situation, if the drainage district doesn't have enough money in it, I write the check, but they don't get to cash it until there's money in it.
So Joe goes out and does the work, and it's account receivable.
Your staff or some of it. Secondary road says too. Yeah. They both
you
do
both
the same.
Go out.
Yes,
it's mostly tile work. Joe's is handled under his budget for the brush.
Right.
Yeah, Joe does the brush control and drainage districts, and this department does the tile work and drainage districts.
Now, does the expense doesn't include any of the payroll, correct? Yeah. So do you bill more than just the, like, you've got 10,000 in that expense?
Yeah, no, I get that.
But
yeah,
do you bring in more than 10,000 because of the salaries or not?
That's supposed to include both, but
we're
already in a situation this year. We have a couple projects working on right now that are going to exceed that.
And that's that again, I'm sorry, I jumped in at the end of the conversation.
He was asking if that included our labor costs in what we budget, and it does, but it's only 10,000, and we're into a couple bigger drainage district jobs right now where we're talking thousands of dollars just to buy the tile. And that's, I'll update you on my next report next
week.
Not a problem.
But
that's where I'm going to get the feedback and how far the board is comfortable with us doing repairs up to what dollar amount until you want to get some feedback from the district people. But generally, we're only repairing things that need to be fixed. And
you're not looking for things.
No. Farmers generally want us just to get it repaired, not turn it into a big
repair. I can tell you right now where I'm going to be on this one is the fact that you get the $50,000 and you feel comfortable and you can tell us that you can do the work, you know.
Yeah,
I would probably be inclined to stay there, but that's just one guy's opinion.
How do you know it needs to be repaired?
Yeah, how do you find out that?
I mean, in general, they're all requests from the landowners. Well, yeah. There's usually a hole the tractor could fall in. It's usually what happens.
Yeah, and you get notified by the farmer.
By the farmers, yeah.
Landowner.
So we, you know, just dating that conversation, we talked about this level B there up on 210 right off S-14.
Yes.
They got a blown out tile. So how would, you know, and we got together, we talked about staying off these things or asking the county to watch and monitor. So how does a landowner, what's the process for them to come to you to say, hey, can Dave come out here and fix this?
Yeah, they generally call our office and we have a work order system that goes into our work orders and gets sent out to Dave for.
Okay, so their contact would be they're going to ring the phone, talk to Vicky.
Yeah.
And start it from there, or stop in and start it from there.
There are farmers that know Dave personally and call him directly on his cell phone. We're trying to get Dave to,
back
as soon as he can,
that.
Put those in the work order system so we know they're even happening. But he gets a lot of calls directly and a lot of pressure.
That good.
In the spring, they want them fixed before planting. And so.
It's a mark on your department you have somebody that good and is that well thought of, because I think that his work product stands on its own. It's good.
Just to clarify, just to make sure I understood that question, it's a level B road, tiles running underneath, tile has
blown. We've got a blowout.
And we need a quick repair.
But what you have right now, and you can speak to it too, but you have farmers going into other farmers' fields to go around the blowout.
Okay.
It's a dirt road. Mm-hmm. It is so bad when the water will stand in there, and what we have is kids will go out there, and you see the trucks coming back looking like they Baja'd it somewhere.
What mudding?
And you have a primary, and this is just being general. A lot of the level B dirt roads we have are in the northeast part of the county, up the Nevada and to the east. And the fact is some of these roads languish, and then you just see farm traffic on them. But we've got these people that, hey, I got a four-wheel drive, I got to go. I mean, you'll sometimes see south of Vetters there. Mm-hmm. You'll see that road. All of a sudden, it's just like some maroon went down it and found out, well, I guess I'm not that good, or the vehicle wasn't what I thought it was, and they're walking back to town.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to expenses. Trying to think if there's any specifics I want to point out. The gravel and limestone is a large item for us, $900,000. That is on page...
Top of 97.
Mm-hmm. I do have a request for some additional money in my final additions. And what that is, we've been at $900,000 for a couple years now, and generally the rock price has increased about 4 to 5% a year. So that's $40,000 a year. It increases on its own. So I was asking for 2 years of increase, bring that up to $980,000.
Okay.
That $900,000 generally, the three items we have in the strategic plan right now, one of them is rock, and we try to get a quarter of the county rocked per year according to the strategic plan. And the other two are paved so many miles and then decreased the deficient bridges or the other two.
We saw in the sheriff's budget that he budgets $600 for gravel out at the gun range. Is that something your office is he purchasing that from you, or do you know anything about that?
I don't.
Okay. Because you have the regrind piles, you have the brick, you've got the dirt,
yes.
You've got all those that are out there, and it's just like that might be something to look at on an internal savings is the fact that the county's already stockpiling
right.
Something on it. You know, it's small dollars, but it's dollars.
It's dollars.
Okay.
That road up to the old county home site in general is really falling apart, so that, I don't know.
It's
what department that falls under, but we probably need to address that at some point.
Well, the thing is, when you look at that budget, and since I live right across the road from it, and I know exactly what you're saying because I've traveled that many times, but you know, I didn't ask about it yesterday, but I was just like kind of with you here talking. I didn't know where, you know,
yeah.
the gravel would have come from other than I thought it would have been an internal thing. I wouldn't think he would have gone out to a vendor.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it. It's more likely he purchased it from Martin Marietta and they hauled it out.
Okay, well, I didn't know how. I don't know how you would come to that, because just now I know. Okay, thank you.
That's the large item in the, mm-hmm. for roads. It's not a glamorous item, but it's something you got to keep up with, or it'll catch up to you eventually, and your gravel roads that turn to mud.
Can you address the add of the Collins Bridge here? Was that already on our work program and you just moved it up?
The Collins Bridge, no, is not in the five-year program yet. It was in my mind to add, and I think you even talked about this one. That's the two double bridges down there.
80 Bridge,
yeah.
Because there's two back-to-back, got to be substandard bridge.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, one is one load-rated?
They both are load rated.
Okay, so we have an issue there, and we had talked about this fall where possibly a culvert or a box bridge could fix one of them outright. You know, one might be an easy fix, one might not be an easy fix. And I hate to say easy when you're talking six figures, but we are.
Right. Okay.
So this will be a brand new addition to the 5-year program.
All right.
And that's to address the larger bridge. The smaller bridge is another floodplain issue.
Really.
It is not in a detailed study, so that's where I think I can replace with a smaller structure. Floodplain regulations don't necessarily think the same way, so we need to talk about that one.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for following up on that, I guess. Now, we didn't know where it was, but I was about to ask, but thank you, Lawrence, for saying something back, because we had talked last fall. All you have to do is go down. It's just a couple miles off 65 to the east, and then you go through it, and it's apparent that this is an issue.
Okay.
Yeah, that was on my radar before you even brought it up to me, because mm-hmm. the previous bridge inspection, there's two bridges that the concrete on the outside edge has actually fallen off. So
really?
There were holes, so we had to restrict it with cones.
Oh,
the other bridge we were able to repair this fall, because it still had steel sticking out so we could form up concrete. The steel was gone. It was too rotted. There's no way to get new steel in it, so pouring concrete wouldn't be structurally sound. So that's why I added that one.
Okay,
well.
Okay. I would assume you would have known about it anyway. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see. Anything in the new equipment line item you want to talk about specifically? I'll comment the tandem truck and pup.
Can you tell me, because you see it now where you didn't in years past, you moved from ownership to leasing. How has that gone on your motor graders?
That's been great for us. Outstanding. We have a parts budget. I don't think it's split out like it is in my spreadsheet. We have $130,000 for parts, and that's generally to fix equipment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that used to go towards motor grader repairs. This year, in general, we've had a lot of truck issues. We've already spent $70,000 of the $130,000 on about four or five truck repairs that were $8,000 to $10,000 each. We're not seeing that in the motor graders anymore, because they're leased. We don't own them. If they need repaired, they pay for it. And motor grader repairs were $30,000 to $40,000 each when a transmission or mm-hmm. something went out. So we're not seeing those costs anymore. So we were hoping to see that parts budget go way down. It really did for a couple of years, but now it's going back up because of the trucks.
But with the new purchases, you might expect that to go back, you know, down a little bit.
I would hope so. Yeah. And we did look at leasing trucks, but it's a lot more difficult to do with the snow and ice control equipment.
Right.
It's a big expense to those trucks. It's probably 40% of the cost of that truck is the snow and ice control equipment. And when you trade that in at the end of the lease, you can't just take that equipment off. Like the motor graders, we can drop the V-plow and the wing and use them again.
Right.
The snow and ice control is all built into the truck, and the resale value isn't that great on those because the public doesn't need it, the snow and ice control. So I don't think the lease program is going to work as well on the trucks. But the other thing we've been trying to do with our truck fleet, we used to have so many single axle trucks that didn't haul hardly anything out on the road. They're very inefficient, but they're good for ditch cleaning and dirt moving and get in and out of smaller areas and places. So we're trying to be more efficient at hauling more rock on our own. And what we've been doing is trying to get more tandem trucks and even adding some pups. We want to get 3 truck and pup combinations and then 1 semi. We have four level 3 truck drivers. That's pretty much what they do all summer is haul rock. So they're on our staff already. We want to make them as efficient as possible. We've already got 2 trucks and pups. This will be the last step in that. We'll have 3 trucks and pups hauling and then 1 semi. So those trucks and pups can haul 30 tons out to a site where we'd haul less than half of that with just a tandem truck. So we're doubling one trip. Mm-hmm. And just the fuel you save and the wear and tear in the trucks is well worth it. But we're almost to that goal of getting those 4 trucks in place, and then they won't be so expensive. The $290,000 will drop down to somewhere to $200,000 to $220,000 for just a tandem truck. The belly dump, what that is, we have 1 semi right now that has a belly dump. It only has 2 axles in the back. We'd like to get a new one that has 3 axles in the back that allows you to haul more material out with that one trip. I put some numbers to it. It'll be about a 3-year payback. You'll pay for that truck in 3 years with the additional material you can haul. And we'll keep the old belly dump. What we do with those now is we mix. When we go get salt sand mix, we bring the sand in, we spray it with calcium chloride in the back of that truck, and it really rusts that truck out bad. Mm-hmm. So I did like to reserve that one for salt sand mixing only, so if it rusts out, we're not using it for rock hauling in the summertime. And then we've got 2 pickups in there, and then two mowers, disc mowers, $12,000 each for $24,000. We generally have 3 of those mowers. They get a ton of use. We have, you know, almost 1,000 miles of road and got to mow both sides, so it's almost 2,000 lane miles we got to mow every year multiple times. So those mowers get a ton of use, and they had a lot of breakdowns last year. We've had them for a few years now, so you got to replace those periodically. And then the last item is the box for $5,505. That's one of our tandem trucks, and it's 12 years old now, 11, 12 years old. And our biggest issue with trucks is the rust. They just get completely rusted out, and the engine's still good. So that's why if we just replace the box on that for $25,000, we'll get a lot more life out of that truck. Any questions on just equipment in general?
No.
I have a spreadsheet on our equipment. Before motor graders, we did the lease program. Our annual cost that we should be spending to maintain the fleet we have now was right around $850,000 a year. You take that motor grader out, it dropped it all the way down to about $450,000 we need to spend just to maintain our current fleet. And that's pretty close to where we are right now with what I'm asking for.
Yeah, for the FY18 budget.
Mm-hmm. I am asking for another tandem truck in my request.
That's a replacement or that's another new one?
That'd be a replacement. We'll replace one of the
singles.
We have two singles that are 19 years old, getting pretty old.
The Hughes call us a little bit.
I don't know if you're 19. I haven't seen that for a while.
I point out a recent study. I just found the DOT had a study on their trucks, how often they replace them, just to give you an idea. It's actually an ISU study. It wasn't a DOT, so it should be a little unbiased, I'd hope. But current schedule is 15-year replacement for the DOT trucks. This study showed that if they could save $2 to $5 million annually by dropping the replacement time to 6 to 7 years. And after that report came in, the DOT has already adjusted their replacement down to 12-year period. We're at about, I know we've got a pretty wide range right now, but we're in the, somewhere in that 12 to 15 years is what we typically have done.
Well, if you got two 19s, that really rounds it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you do use them. You see them out, and you know it's not just going to the mall and back, so
yeah.
They're going to wear.
They're going to wear.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about reestimating your current year somewhat? I know you're pretty for construction.
For construction?
Yeah. I know you don't think we're going to spend very much this year, but
page you on?
I'm on page 95.
90?
95.
Thank you. Very last line item.
The very last line item.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'll probably move up and talk about a couple other ones, but
sure. The point we're at is we have a local construction sheet. It should be at the end of your budget there. I don't know what sheet number that is.
Yep,
for
it's
you.
Okay,
it's, you got it at the end
of your budget.
101.
Yeah. You get it. I think you gave it
yeah,
to
yeah.
us.
Okay, green.
Your two-page handout,
right.
And we have it here, too. Or you're yeah. talking.
It's a separate. It's included in our budget submittal.
Yeah, I've got it right here. You
got that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where there's two carryover projects with the stars on them, number one and two. Mm-hmm. That's those projects Rick was talking about that are budgeted in both years.
Right.
But those are the ones, Lisa, that we don't know how much of that money could get spent out of this current fiscal year. I don't anticipate much at all, but some of Grant could, so we could throw a couple hundred thousand in there just
right.
in case.
All right.
It's just the paving's what happens last on that project, and that's the most expensive part by far, and that will almost for sure happen after July 1st.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that this will be the final. I just want to talk it through a little bit.
Sure.
Because I don't know from the conversation earlier whether he wants to leave that full amount in there and not budget it for next year and amend.
Yes.
You know, I don't know which option is the best, and you'll need to do some research. I just wanted an idea for mm-hmm. my...
And then what
we're
other project?
That up to 800.
Yeah, that would go to 810. Is there another project in there that you think you'll have some more
There's
cost
nothing
on?
Else that could
nothing
happen.
Okay.
So 800?
So possibly 800,000, yeah.
For Grant Avenue?
For Grant Avenue. Yeah, bump that 600 re-estimation to 800,000.
Just
200,000 for Grant Avenue.
17.
I gotcha.
I want to talk about the line item right above that, workman's comp insurance. I just sent you guys the final premium on that. So it looks to me like you're going to spend about 41. I re-estimated that to 41, and I'm not sure that's final, because the last payment was January.
Okay.
But your workman's comp insurance with the redo.
We redid the percentages.
We redid percentages along with the fact that when they come in and do the audit, the percentages look different. Less, we don't have CLP anymore, so the whole overall is less. Okay.
Okay.
So you guys probably only need to budget $45,000 a year in there.
Is that 18?
Yeah.
So 18, I think, if you guys are fine with that, should be 45,000.
we're going to see it go up just a little bit based on our utilization or what our mod factor is going up a little bit, but it's not going to jump tons. So I would say 45 or 50.
We're showing 95 reestimate this year. Is that?
Yeah, I put 41 in there.
41?
Yeah, because we're about done paying. 41. Because you're at 36.3 through December, and you had one more claim. That gets paid 0.25% of the whole premium gets paid in July, and then it's 8 payments, 8 installments. Okay. So you're done in January.
So it's not fair to just take that, what we paid times 2 to get the full year. It's,
Good.
1,017 and 45 and 45.
And because of the contract and the way it's written and the way it happens, it's merely a moving of funds, but just FYI so you know what I'm doing. Your re-estimated for uniforms and equipment, the line up there, I made that $5,600 for this year and $5,600 for next year. That is going to include the steel-toed boots, okay, because that is not taxable. So all your steel-toed boots come out of this line item.
Okay.
Then up at taxable fringe benefit is where your $250, $500 per employee comes out of. Okay?
Okay, so I need to move that up to...
So you have a total... You have a total of $18,600
right.
that you budget for that, which is accurate, I think. But I split it out differently on here just because that's how it truly gets paid.
It's a payroll line item.
It's a payroll line item.
Right. Since it's a stipend.
What was the amount you put up top then?
$13,000 in taxable fringe.
$13,000, okay.
Which is $500 per road
employee. I think.
$500 and 200 boots.
$200
for boots. $200 on boots, yeah.
But the $200 is not taxable, so yeah.
It's just clerical where we need to show them up at, basically.
How is that working with a stipend versus reimbursing their uniforms? How's it working as a stipend versus reimbursing your uniforms? Are they? I know. But they're having the adequate clothing that you require them to have? Okay.
Issues with that.
Good. And how that works, Loris, is they used to reimburse for uniforms, but now they get a stipend and the employee is responsible to go purchase whatever required to wear.
Yep. And it's taxable.
And it's taxable because they get the cash versus getting reimbursed the actual items. So
that
was a change a couple of years ago.
Yeah. There are, I think, only 3 departments that have any taxable clothing
now.
The detectives and the sheriff's office have taxable clothing.
That makes
and
sense.
These guys have taxable clothing and just.
Is it conservation?
No, they pay for the uniforms and conservation. Now they get an allowance or an internal allowance.
They don't
purchase and reimburse through them. They don't have it in their contract to get
that
it.
That makes sense because they're wearing shirts that say conservation so that it's easier to get them purchased through
that. And facilities does it a little different. Jeans are considered clothing that you can wear anywhere, so they would be taxable.
Okay.
So they tax them on their jean purchases, but the rest of their clothing they have, they're all marked, facilities or whatever, so those aren't taxable.
The IRS is pretty specific. If you can wear the item out there, it's considered a taxable item. So jeans you can wear, unless you put a big patch that says Story County facility, So their shirts, no, they can't wear for regular, they can't wear it out to do whatever they do at night, but.
Okay, thank you for that explanation.
Well, let me talk a little bit more about the construction sheet at the end. a little difficult without seeing the big picture for you to think about what should be budgeted, because this is only the local construction budget. We talked more about scheduling in the five-year program, but that's a month or two down the road. I'm going to try to start pushing that up a little sooner. In the past, this local budget was pretty well set by the five-year program. Everything just bumps up a year, so I stick it in here and we go.
Mm-hmm.
We're adding so many projects now, new projects, because of the additional monies with the fuel tax, that things are a little bit more in flux. But in general, these have been in the five-year program except for my additions. And that's on my recommended additions list at the end. Under construction, let's see. Y'all have that, my recommended list too. Marty?
Yeah, no, I'm sure you're just
on this one.
This sheet that I handed out today.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just sitting here looking at your map for fiscal 18.
Yeah, kind of
flipping
goes along
it back
with
and
that.
Forth. Okay.
I want to know what I'm requesting to add to that. The first one is the Grant Avenue paving. That's just the estimate increased a little bit.
That's self-explanatory.
The second one, West 190th also increased a little bit, $30,000. So now it's a $430,000 project instead of $400,000. That gets let next month. The third one, this is a bridge. It's due to a grant opportunity is why I need to add it in here. There's a federal grant we're trying to work on, County Engineers Association, where they will pay for the actual deck, but it has to be in the FY18 budget to even be considered. Most of that will get reimbursed with federal aid money anyway, but that's the total. We have to budget for it all up front in local dollars, $350,000. The Collins 2 bridge we talked a little bit about already. That's just one through our bridge inspections. It's a good one to add in. It hadn't been in our program previously. Then the last one is West 190th. Asphalt overlay, that is already in our five-year program. I was thinking about delaying that a year. That's why I didn't get in the original submittal I added. But this is where the West 190th bridge is, and we're going to replace that this summer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fill there, so it's going to settle some, and we have some paving in there. So the idea is to put our thinless asphalt in this summer. It's going to settle and probably cause bumps at each end. And then we're going to come in the next year and overlay that entire winery road, which is just a seal coat right now. We don't have too many seal coats in Story County, thankfully. So we're going to overlay that whole road the next year. Whether this needs to be in 18 or 19, that's one that could go either way. So if we need to cut something, that's the one we could look at pushing back here.
So of these, only two of them are not in your five-year plan.
Collins 2 is not, and the Palestine Bridge was. It just wasn't a federal aid. We're changing it to a federal aid job now. And the other ones all were in already. So just the one we'll be adding in. And these are all in order of importance to me.
Oh, okay.
Pretty aggressive year.
Yeah. Trying to add as many of those local bridges as we can. Any questions at all on the construction sheet in general?
No.
Like I say, that part will that'll come together a little bit more for you in your mind when we do the five-year program on how we plan for these things.
This will be a work in progress.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention, Darren, the work session that...
Yeah, we're talking, in the past we've always done the five-year program discussion as part of the board meeting. That's been 5-10 years we've done it that way. There was a time 15-20 years ago we'd actually hold the hearings out at our office, and we got to the point where absolutely nobody would show up. So we kind of ended that process and just did it as part of a board meeting. kind of turned into a lengthy discussion, so it's kind of hard to do as part of a board meeting. And
just like break it off and do it separately.
Yeah, felt like I was getting rushed at times, and it's an important discussion. So now we feel like we should break it out into some sort of a work session separate from a board meeting. So I talked to Deb this morning about trying to schedule that for February, second to last week of February.
Sometime, yeah, around the week of the 13th.
13th into the next week, and I'll send some emails out about timing and how it works for you guys.
The thing that I'd like to look at, something like this, where the public's had several years getting used to now having to come to the regular board meeting, is that we set that work session to be on the same day, a Tuesday. Although, you know, that's my thought, but other people may say, oh, no, you know, a different day is better. But let's look at that, and maybe even if it were a luncheon and we bring in just sandwiches for staff, or we bring our own. But, I mean, my thought is of some people who drive back and forth a lot, people who are working. Yeah. Fortunately, it's in February. People won't be in the field, we hope. Okay.
Hope not.
Yeah, but I'm thinking from a Tuesday standpoint, if people are setting aside to go, or possibly another option to discuss with Rick would be that that be a week where we not have anything big on our agenda, you know, that we expect to be time-consuming that week, and maybe then we could start at 11:30 instead, a separate work session. I think there would be a variety of ways we could look at.
Loris is giving voice to what was at first a suspicion, is now in my mind a fact, is that this is your department, and what you do in behalf of the people of this county is of great interest to them. They pay attention to it. They know they don't know, and they're almost, and they just feel that if they got somebody that they think has an inkling of what's going on, they're just desperate to hear what they can. So whatever opportunity we can provide to bring them to the table, you know, we can't, you know, I will not be disappointed if we only get one. I will not be surprised if we get 100. But the fact is that you did it is the important part. Yeah, so how we choose to do it, the mechanism,
right.
Knock yourself out, whatever you guys want to do. I'll be here for it. I will enjoy and the opportunity to have you come in and educate us and inform the public at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. We'll shoot for a Tuesday then, maybe 11:30, and if the board meeting runs long, we'll just push it back. That should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, this is of great public saliency that they want to know. They really, really want
to
know.
A question that's not related to this discussion, but related to the DOT and their project on 35.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? How are they going to go underneath?
The it'll be a flyover bridge over the top of everything.
Really?
So you'll get off to the right and then go up over a new bridge, a long new bridge, and come back down on Highway 30.
35. No. 30.
Oh.
35. Right.
Six lane?
Right.
Oh.
That's the six lane is mainly for future expansion, but
they've almost got the bed run all the way to the river.
Yeah, but
okay.
This is supposed to go all the way down to Ankeny.
But I'm trying to figure out that first gravel road that there's no place. What are they going to do?
That bridge gets replaced next year. Bridges that go over the interstate are owned by the DOT, so they pay for that cost, but that 260th, 265th is our gravel road.
Probably,
we'll
be
closed a long time next year.
So they're going to lengthen it.
They have to lengthen it, so they're creating a waterway to go under the bridge where there isn't now.
Uh-huh.
They're putting a huge box culvert under the interstate and then need to make the bridge wider.
Okay, so they're
going to
do,
the
is that going to be three lanes is where they're at?
Yes.
And then they're going to have to buy right away and do the three lanes on the other side too?
I believe so.
They're not moving, like they're not moving. No.
Since they're replacing the bridge anyway, yeah, they're just, I think, making the bridge longer and three lanes on both sides.
All right.
But the box culvert is the difficult part. They have to build that in sections to keep the interstate open.
Right.
Well, if she gets to ask a question, I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
Anything else on New 30?
I have not heard a lot of updates. The latest I know is the interchanges you're talking about?
No, you start at the interstate and you move east. You know, you have a rolling series of, oh, my God. And I just wondered if you heard anything new. I'm sitting here, what will happen, you know.
The latest I heard is they're still talking about the 580th Brecky's Feed Store intersection.
Right, yeah.
That will be an interchange. They still haven't completely decided if it will be right there, if they'll offset it some. But I think they've kind of ruled out they were going to offset it a half a mile to the west where the two houses are. I think they've kind of eliminated that option. So I think it's back closer to 580th. It's not in their five-year program yet, so it's probably at least 5 years out before they do that. But when they do that, they're going to close access to 590th, Fetters, and the Level B Road to the south.
And the county will have to stand that rear edge road?
Don't know the details on that yet.
The suspicion would be that that will be at our expense to provide access from 580th to 590th.
Very possible. We'll at least have to replace that bridge just north of Vetters because they haul a lot of heavy equipment in and out, and they'll no longer have access to 30. So we want to replace that before that's their only access.
So this project will come at...
Can I turn the recorder off at this point?
Are we done?
I have no more questions. If there's any more of the presentation...
Budget request.
I believe so.
We have the recall on
the
23rd.
On the 20th.
Yeah,
20th.
Good point.
20th. Okay.
I believe that we conclude at this point your presentation. We do have the callback scheduled. I'm looking forward to the work session. And I believe what we did today was very informative, and I thank you for it. Now back to your point.